he singing your testimony this morning? Huh? Are you numbered in that group? Hello, I'm back. Are you numbered in that group? The redeemed of the Lord, amen? Well, let the redeemed say so this morning. I enjoyed that. I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about habits. And don't have a cornerstone verse for anything here, but it looks like this is going to probably take me 2 weeks to wrap this up. So we'll have a part one today and part two next week. And the whole gist of what I want to do is try to help you a little bit. Anybody here doesn't have a bad habit? Well, there's a way to get rid of a bad habit. And I want to talk to you about the way to do that. How to break free. And these chains that were talked about here just a moment ago, there's a way to break those chains. A way to get out of that bondage. And to break free from things that have a hold on us. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. Maybe give you some help in there and just point you a little bit in the right direction. I'm excited about the topic, and I'm expectant. I'm expectant about how this can help someone get rid of something that is plaguing their life. Every one of us has habits. Many good habits we have. But there's some bad habits that we have too. And that's what I'm primarily looking at here this morning and next week as well. Some of those habits that we have are obvious, and some of them are hidden. And I suspect that there's a good number of hidden habits in here this morning that could probably be dealt with. The obvious ones, maybe we're not aware of them, but everybody else is. You know, if we have a habit of flying off the handle, maybe we don't really recognize the degree to which we're doing something like that, but other people do. So some of them that we have are obvious, but others are a little more hard to detect, and it's not my job. I'm not getting out here trying to dig around in what you're doing. The good habits free us up, and the bad habits tie us up. And I don't know about you, but being tied up is not one of my favorite things. And so that freedom that we can have in Christ depends on some of these, breaking away from some of the things that hold us up. I want to talk to you about how to break free from a habit. I want to use an acrostic with this and use the words break free to give you several things here that can help you in getting shed of a bad habit. Bad habits make our lives more messy than they need to be. We're already messy. And our lives are already messed up to some great degree. But they don't have to be more messy than they need to be. And so we can start pruning. We can start getting rid and getting shed of some things. I think it'll help us in the totality of our life. They keep us from being all that God wants us to be. These messy habits that we have. God wants so much more for us and has so much more for us. And if we'll begin to turn some things over and begin to look at things in a proper way, we can get turned free from that. And God can make something stupendous out of something that's not all that right now. Well, what do you generally do when you need help with your life? You go to the doctor and you find out that you got high blood pressure, you got some kind of ailment, or you're doing this or that. What's the first thing that you do? Well, anymore, most of us go Google it to figure out what we've got and how we manage it and how the steps are that we can get rid of it or whatever else. We self-diagnose. We do all kinds of things. So we go out there and we Google whatever it is that we need help with. And so if you'd go out there and you would Google this and say, how do I break a bad habit? You get all kinds of good advice out there. And there'd be thousands upon thousands of things that would come up to give you this expert advice on how to break a bad habit. Thousands of them. I've looked them up. And not all of them, but I looked at it and went through a whole bunch of them about how they say that you're supposed to get rid of this thing. I was reading one yesterday morning. It said, yesterday afternoon, it said, change your environment. In order to get rid of a habit, change your environment. Well, I don't know how to exactly do that. I'm not moving. Maybe I could kick the kids out and all of that, and change the environment pretty quick with all of that. Change your environment in order to break your habits. It gives the example of someone that would be a smoker that would go out on the patio and smoke in their favorite chair. And it says, to change your environment, go out there and move that chair and put a plant in its place. I thought, that's going to be helpful as I stand in the brush and smoke. I'm not sure that's going to be helpful. You know, it says if you're going to, having a trouble with your eating, change places on the table. I guarantee if I've got a 12-ounce ribeye sitting on that table, me about moving one chair over is not going to save it. I'm about to devour that rascal no matter where I sit. If I set it on the table, it's going down. All right? And so change your environment is probably not going to be the right move for me. Take control of your life, they say. And with that, I say, right. Take control. I have a hard enough time taking control of today, let alone my life in its totality in one shot. I don't have control of my life, with that. My life is not my own. And so, take control of your life. That may be good advice. It would sound good on the front of it, but it's not gonna get down to where I live. I don't have control of my life today, let alone my life in total. Telling somebody to shape up and get rid of the habit is like telling a guy that fell off a skyscraper to stop it. He certainly would like to, would he not? He would certainly like to. Every time he passes a floor, he would sure like to stop where he is and where he's going with all of that. But he is powerless, going to be powerless to control that. The stop will come, but he can't stop it at any floor before the bottom, and he winds up there. Let me go to 2 Peter chapter 2 for just a minute. We're going to go through several scripture this morning, not one that you can camp out on. With this, but if you'll go to 2 Peter with me for just a minute, we'll start our little journey right here. 2 Peter chapter 2, and looking at one verse here, and it says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Now what that says is that a man is a slave to a destructive habit. That's the boiled down version of that verse, that a man is a slave to a destructive habit. Now I don't know about you, but that word slave kind of rubs me the wrong way. Being a slave to anything, being a slave to anybody other than Jesus Christ, kind of rubs me in the wrong direction. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, to the same he is brought into bondage. Many habits we start because. Many habits are started just because we can. Because we have the freedom to choose what we want to do and how we want to do it and where we want to do it. And so many of the habits that we have, bad habits included, we have just because we can do them. We are free to do so. The problem is that we quickly stop becoming a master over the habit and the habit begins to master us. And therein lies the rub. We think we're in control when we start, and at some point it kicks over And we're no longer in control of it. It now is in control of us. It is now the master, and we are now the slave. We started out in the opposite side of that. I can do this, or I can handle this, or I can do as long as I want to, and then I can quit doing whatever I'm doing with this. And so we come with the idea, I'm the master, I can handle this, and then all of a sudden, before we know it, the worm has turned. And now we're no longer the master, but we're the slave in this relationship. And whatever it is that we've allowed to be a habit in our life has now become the master to us. We're going to look at God's way of breaking a habit. God's way of breaking a habit that has control of us. And we'll do this using that acrostic for the words break free. The first letter there being B, and we'll start off with that one. Break free is a key phrase, and every letter is going to build upon the other. So let's start the process and looking at how to break free from a habit today. B, first thing we need to do when breaking a habit and breaking it God's way is to begin now. Begin now. Now that's a very simplistic thing to say, isn't it? We need to begin now to break a habit. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1 says, boast not thyself of, what?
Tomorrow,
for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. He says, don't brag about what you're going to do tomorrow. He says, you don't know how this is going to wind up today. You don't know how this is going to turn out on the day that you're living in here. What happens is, whenever we have something that we want to deal with, what we generally say is something like this: I'm gonna do this, or I'm gonna take care of that. One of these days, next week I'm gonna, after this process, I'm gonna start on that. And listen, friend, that's death to breaking anything. You got to begin now. You got to determine in your heart and your mind that it's time for it to go, and you got to start today. Got to start now. Start at this time. How many things are going to get done if we keep talking about them and never get them done? How many things do we put on our to-do list and we never get around to them? How many times have we made resolutions and we broke them before the New Year's rung in good? You make these things and you put it out there, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to have this happen, and I'm going to go to this, and I'm not going to this after this date and all. Begin now. Begin today. You want to break a habit, you want to break a bad habit, you got to start now. You can't give it life another day. You can't give it breath another day. You can't give it legs another day. You got to start now and cut those legs out from under it. Don't give it a reprieve. Don't give it a time to strengthen. Don't give it time to gain any more momentum. Don't give it more time to get a hold of more of your life. You got to start now with that thing. Begin now. Begin today to nip this thing in the bud. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Intending to do good without actually doing it is of absolutely no value. Well, I was going to do that. I was going to say that. I was going to help with that. Well, what value is that? Does that gain us some credit whenever we give that statement? Or we give that out in that way? Well, absolutely not. Because the intention is not as good as the doing of that. Every day that you let a bad habit hang around, it gets stronger. And every day you let a bad habit hang around, it gets more deeply embedded into your life. It gets more deeply woven into the fabric of your very life. You put up off dealing with a habit one more day, and you enslave yourself for one more day. You're a slave for another day and another day and another day in a long, endless string of slave days. You'll have to answer for the master for a whole nother day that you've been enslaved to a master other than the rightful one. Your master gets to dictate. Your master gets to rule. This master that you're bowing down to, he gets to corrupt. He gets to divide you. He gets to use you for another 24 hours if you put it off any longer. You're not in charge. You just think you're in charge. You're not running this thing. You just think that you're running this thing. You deluded yourself into saying that you're in charge and that you have mastery in your life. To break free, you have to begin. And friend, I tell you this, now, today is the time to break free. At this moment is the time for it to stop. This is the day for it to be done. Today, this hour, this moment, not another day, not another 24 hours. You can't let this thing hang around any longer. Oh, I know you have a lot going on in your life right now. We all do. And we all think about that. And we always think, you know, I've got so much going on. And I got this coming up next week. And I got this happening over here. And I'm kind of stressed about this. And you know, it'd probably be a better time if I waited till I wasn't as stressed about it to deal with this over here. I'd get my mind clear and get it wrapped around it a lot better if I could just put this, I'll just put this off till after this crisis that I'm going on. And the crisis doesn't have to be all that big to make us put it off. There will be a better time than that. Put it off to a better time. I'm not an expert on anything, and it's easy for me to say that we ought to start it now. But it's true. It is true that now is the time. Let's take a look at a guy that had all the money in the world. Let's think about him for a moment. A guy in the Bible that had all the money in the world. He had all the power that he could possibly use. He had all the resources. He had everything. There was nothing that was withheld from this guy. Whatever he wanted to do, he did. He went through wine. He went through women. He went through song. He went through everything. He tried. If skydiving would have been a big deal back in his day, he'd have tried it. I'm talking about Solomon. Here's a guy that went through everything, all the worldly pleasures in the world. He tried this, he tried that, he dabbled in this, he dabbled in that. Says he was the wisest guy, but I have to say that at some points it looked like he was kind of dumb about some of it. But here's a guy that tried everything. There was nothing, the Scripture says, that was withheld from him. And he thought that it was going to bring him happiness. He thought that all this stuff that he was engaged in, all the activities and things that he was going to get to see and go and do and everything, he thought about all of that and thought that that was going to bring some fulfillment into his life and that his life was going to be full as a result of it and that everything was just going to turn out rosy for him and all of that. And he discovered that in fact, instead, what all of these things brought to him was just emptiness. It didn't fill the void that was in there. It was just an empty exercise that he was going through, poking busyness into his life, and it didn't do exactly what he thought it was going to do. And when you get in the habit of doing things, man, it's hard to get free from doing those things. Once you get in the habit of you know, engaging in activity and engaging in these things, it's hard to not engage. Once you've created a habit of doing exactly that. Ecclesiastes. Let me go over there for just a minute if I can. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I'm looking at verse 4 here. This is down towards the latter part of the book here. And kind of wrapping things up. Ecclesiastes 11 and 4, he says, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." What he's saying is if you wait for the perfect conditions, if you're waiting for the perfect conditions to get something done, you'll never get anything done. And that's what we're talking about when you put this situation off. If you put it off, the perfect conditions are never going to show up. I mean, the stars aren't going to line up and everything's not going to come into perfect alignment so that you can dump a habit that you've got going on in your life. The perfect time and the perfect conditions will not come. You cannot wait until that comes along, because it's not coming. It's not going to be here. And so what you have to do is determine, and you have to determine that now, whether or not you want to keep that and be a slave to something another day, or you want to be rid of it and you want to begin the process and begin now. And folks, I would say to you that breaking free means that you need to start now. Begin now. Begin today. Don't wait another day. If you wait for those perfect conditions, you're never going to get anything done. There's never a better time than now. You need to quit saying, one of these days I'm going to get my act together. One of these days I'm going to get right with God. One of these days I'm going to do what is right and do the right the next right thing to do. One of these days, as we know, is going to be none of these days, if that's the case. One of these days never comes. It's none of these days. Do it now. Do it now. I want you to think as you're sitting here this morning. I want you to think about what I'm saying, because some of you have already tuned me out. You've already tuned me out because you're not interested. You're not interested in dealing with things. You're not interested in moving to a place where God can have all of you. Some of you here are afraid that if you give God all of you, what it's going to cause you as far as pain and discomfort. You're already telling yourself, looking at what you're about to have for lunch, because you don't want to go any further. And I want to stop right here. And I want you to think about it. And I want you to think about your life. And I want you to think about this habit or habits that are going on in your life that you know are keeping you from being all that you can be with God. That you have locked up in a closet in your mind, that you've locked up in a closet in your heart. The skeletons are clanging around in there, and you know you need to be done with it, but it has a hold on you. And you're afraid of the ripping that's going to take place when this thing has to go. And some of you are counting the cost even before you get started. And you're counting what it's going to mean and what you're going to have to deprive your little old self of in order to follow through with this process. And I want you to think about this morning. I want you to think about that habit that has a hold on you. I want you to think about that habit that even deeper down in your soul, you know you want to get rid of. You know you want to be shed of. I want you to think about that right now. I want you to ask yourself, do I really want to get rid of it? And if you do, then you start now. You start now to get rid of it. Begin now. And follow the process. Follow the process as we outline it. Begin now. Name it to yourself. Name it to yourself. And let's begin the process of getting rid of it today. Amen. R. Refuse to blame other people. Begin today. Begin now. Refuse to blame anybody else for your habit. Refuse to blame other people for what's going on in you. You'll never break any bad habit until you take responsibility personally and you say, this is my problem. This is my problem. It's human nature that we love to blame everybody else for everything that goes on. We love to blame somebody else. We want to get out from under blame. We want to shift blame at every possible course. Even when we're dead wrong, we want to blame shift. We don't want to take responsibility. We don't want to look like the dumb one. We don't want to look like the one that failed. We don't want to look like that, and so we shift that blame on somebody else. Refuse to blame somebody else. This is your problem. Our favorite phrase in America is, it's not my fault. And any time that I've ever asked anybody in the house who did this, it was always not me. I don't know when that person came to live in my house, but they have been there for years. Oh, not me did everything. Does he live at your house? Who did that? Not me. Not me. Well, bring him out here. Bring him in here. I'm fixing to give him a thrashing. Our favorite phrase is, it's not my fault. Not me. We like to excuse, and then we like to accuse other people. We excuse ourselves, and we accuse somebody else. When I excuse me and accuse somebody else, I can step away and the spotlight goes on them now. I'm in the clear. I'm free. I'm ready to roll here. Now you, on the other hand, have a problem. So we excuse ourselves and then we accuse someone else. We excuse ourselves from our faults and our failures and our sins and our flops and our flubs. And we like to accuse everybody else and point out their irregularities and their sins and their dysfunctionality and their malfunctions. We want to shift everything to somebody else. We want to hide our faults and then we want to hurl little bitty bombs at somebody else. And if you're going to break a habit, you're going to have to refuse. Refuse to blame somebody else. Refuse to blame anybody for the problem that you've got going on in your life, for the habit that is wreaking havoc in your life. Refuse to blame anybody else. Take responsibility. Take responsibility for what's taking place. The most insane and bizarre part of this is that so many times we want to blame God for our problem. Not just our neighbor, but we want to blame God. Oh, my soul. God let us have a free will, and then we make all kinds of stupid decisions and get ourselves into horrible messes. And when we get into the mess, then we ask God, why did you do this, God? Got this huge catastrophe going on that we brought upon ourselves, but in the midst of it or down at the back end of it, we're out. God, why did you do this to me? I would sure love sometimes for that booming voice to come from heaven and tell us how dumb we really are. We blame Him for problems that we bring on ourselves. God needs to tell us, you're the one that did it. I gave you free will, and your decision was to do what you did. Now you're going to reap the results of what you've put into motion. Now you get to reap the harvest for what you decided that you were going to get involved in. It's not a new problem. This problem that I'm talking about started back in the Garden of Eden. Proverbs 19:3 says, the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Some people ruin themselves by their own stupid actions when they blame the Lord. Remember Adam. The devil tempted Eve. Eve fell to the temptation and took of the forbidden fruit. She then passed it on to Adam, and he was not deceived, and he willfully ate of that fruit. And then God comes along and He says, what's going on? And God knew exactly what was going on at that point. He just wanted Adam to man up. And so He asked Adam, what's going on? Wanting him to man up about things, and Adam did. He manned right up. He said, that woman you gave me. And what did I just say? We excuse ourselves, and then we want to accuse our neighbor. And that's what Adam did right off the bat. God wanted him to man up. He manned up by putting the finger on the woman and saying, it was all her fault. She's the one that did it. It wasn't me. It wasn't my fault. I didn't ask for her. You gave her to me. If she wasn't in my life, this would have not ever happened. Who is it maybe that you're blaming for some unhappiness that's in your life? Who is it that you might be blaming for what you have taken, what you have done and not taken responsibility for? Maybe you're shifting things to kids, or maybe to a spouse, or maybe to a spouse that you used to have, or something like that. We want to shift and accuse someone, excuse ourselves and accuse someone else. We've got a government that we can throw a lot of stuff on. Maybe it's the government's fault for whatever it is that has got a hold in your life. The government's fault. Maybe it's the society's fault because, you know, the society has changed and all of this. And after all, there's no moral absolutes with anything anymore. Do you know that less than 9% of the people in the United States of America, less than 9% believe that there is a moral absolute? Is it any wonder that our society is moving so rapidly towards degenerate types of things? Only 9% of Americans, less than 1 out of 10, believe that there is a right and a wrong. That's what that boils down to. Less than 1 out of 10 believe there is a right and there is a wrong. So here we have all kinds of folks that we can blame for what we have going on. Government and all this going on. Oh, and the devil can make me do it too. Huh? The devil made me do it. Oh, he made me do it. He's powerful, I guarantee you. But he ain't never made you do nothing. He never made you do nothing you didn't want to do. Huh? Now that's the sad truth of it right there. He never made a person do anything that they didn't want to do. If you break free of bad habits, If you want to break free of bad habits, if you want to be the kind of person that God wants you to be, if you really want to change your life, if you really want a lasting change to come in, you got to start today. And you got to accept responsibility for what you've done. And none of this blame-shifting stuff or accusing someone else to take responsibility for what it is that's in your life that needs to be changed. And so what I would say is, why don't you do that right now? Here just a moment ago, you named something. You put your finger on it in your life. How about now you take responsibility for what you've done? Take responsibility in your heart of hearts for what you have done, for how you have gone about that. Just go ahead and take responsibility. It's my fault. I've done this. I'm the one that's to blame. Nobody put this on me. I made a decision. I made a conscious choice, and I did these things, and I am doing these things, and I am moving this forward, and I'm taking responsibility for that right now. You want to break free? Begin today. You want to break free? Refuse to shift the blame to some other party. Take responsibility for whatever it is that is plaguing you in your life. Begin now and refuse to blame somebody else. The third thing, E, examine your life. Examine your life. After you assume personal responsibility, you got to take personal inventory. Do an internal audit. Take an honest appraisal of yourself. That's a principle that we find over also in Lamentations. Taking a look at Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 40, it says there, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. And what that's saying is, let us examine our ways and test them and then return to the Lord. Taking a personal inventory of what's going on. God says that on a regular basis, you need to do some personal inventory in your life. You need to ask yourself questions like, where am I tempted? Where am I likely to fall prey to whatever it is that is a habit in my life? What are my weaknesses? How long have I had these problems in my life? Where am I vulnerable? Is there locations? Is there things? Is there places? Is there people? What are the triggers? What are the things that create or stir up in me the desire to move forward with a habit here? Where am I coasting instead of working on the relationship that I'm supposed to have with the Lord? If I'm coasting, there's going to be a problem. If I'm coasting, I'm going downhill. If I'm coasting, I'm going downhill. And if I'm going downhill, then I'm moving away from the power source, which is God Almighty. And so ask ourselves some questions. Need to look at ourselves and have a real frank evaluation of our faults and our failures and our temptations. If you're going to change anything in your life, you've got to stop pretending. You've got to stop faking. You've got to stop wearing a mask with these things. You got to stop covering up your faults, because hiding a hurt and hiding a fault intensifies the pain and causes something to grow deeper in our life. I want you to notice something that the Bible says in Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verses 4 and 5 in here. Psalm 32, 4 and 5 says, "For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." This step that I'm talking about, this examining of my life, it's not a once and done thing for a lifetime. It's an ongoing process of examining and continuing to examine our lives, constantly taking our spiritual pulse, constantly examining our lifestyle. The Bible says over in Proverbs 4 and 26, it says, "Ponder the path of your feet." Think about the path that you're on. Think about the path that your feet are taking you on. Be conscious and aware, always checking your next step, checking the next foothold, not stronghold, but foothold in the path that you have or the climb that you're making. Check your path. Check the way you're going. What am I doing with my life? Where am I heading? What's the direction of my feet? Do it on a regular basis. Continually examine and check and recheck what your life is all about. The Bible says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, over in verse 12, it says, let him who thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. There's an examination. You can't get too proud and too cocky in this thing because there's always going to be an opportunity for things to worm their way into your life and cause you to fall. And so you've always got to be examining and checking up on your spiritual life like that. If you want power in your life and you want to walk with, then you have to walk with integrity. You have to walk with humility. And those things keep you on track as you move through the spiritual life. The Bible says to evaluate your life. Why does it say that? Because our heart is deceitful. And our heart is desperately wicked. According to Jeremiah 17 and the ninth verse there. Our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. And it says, ask the rhetorical question, who can know it? And the answer being, no, you can't even know how desperately wicked and what you can get off into in a moment's notice. So we need to be constantly checking up on ourselves. Figure out what our motives are. Look at what our motives are. You don't really know why you do what you do much of the time. We got to keep checking up on ourselves, examining what we're doing. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful. That means given any situation, your heart is deceitful in that. You're capable of doing any sin at any time, at any place. Given the right situation, you're capable of doing anything that the most heinous of individuals out here is doing this morning. You're capable of doing that and much, much more. The moment you say, I would never do that, look out. Look out. The moment you say never, anytime the never comes out of your mouth, you better watch out. Because there's something that's attached to that that says that I'm strong in that area and I could not fall to that. I am not weak in this area. And when you make a boast like that, I guarantee you, great can be the fall of that individual there for that. Y'all remember several years back when that 18-year-old boy flew a plane into Moscow and landed it on Red Square? Y'all remember that? That was an 18-year-old German boy. He modified a Cessna airplane and put extra fuel. He only had 50 hours of flying time. 50 hours of flying time alone. And he flew a plane onto Red Square and coasted it up to the door of the Kremlin. We're talking about one of the most secure airspaces in the world. Okay? And this guy lands a plane right up and it coasts it right up to the door. They thought that they had everything wired. There was no way that anybody could ever get in there. That they were secure from anybody and everything in the world. And yet this boy, 50 hours of flying time, I mean a real ace, he flew right in there and landed it on their doorstep. Remember, Gorbachev was the leader of Russia at that time. And Gorbachev was having trouble with some of his higher-ups during that time. Some of the higher-ups in his army were against him. And he really wanted to shut down this Cold War business, but they were kind of holding his feet to the fire. This kid came in there and flew that plane, landed it on Red Square, coasted up to the door there. The next day, as everything came down, Gorbachev fired the top two men in the government there that were in charge of the one in charge of the army and the other in charge of the air defenses. And these two had been thorns in his side forever, and that was part of the reason that the wall did come down. Now his opposition was no longer there, and he was able to do some things that he would not have any other way been able to do. Look at how God can do things as things move along, and his plan can be accomplished for all of that. These things could not. But anyway, they thought that they were so strong and so tough, and that nothing could get in there. And this kid comes and lands a plane there in the middle of Red Square in Moscow, and so. Examining ourselves, making sure that we're not being too overconfident, being real, being realistic with ourselves, honestly evaluating where we are. That's the third part of breaking these habits, breaking free from a bad habit. Begin today. Start now. Don't delay. Don't wait. Refuse to shift the blame to anybody. Take responsibility for what it is that you want to get rid of in your life. And examine your life. Be honest and totally forthright about what is happening and what the result is in your life. A, Ask Christ to take control of your life. Ask Christ to take control of your life. Now we're getting down to something here that's indispensable. This is an indispensable part of breaking free from any of these bad habits. Many people tell me and have told me over the years, I'd love to change. I'd love to get rid of this. I'd love to do this. I'd love to not any longer have to deal with this here. But I can't. I can't. I've heard that time and time again. I'd like to, but I can't. I just can't. I've listened to the tapes. I've read the books. I've gone to my quiet time. I've done this and I've done that and I've done the other, and I just can't change it. And my answer to that is, you're right. You can't. You can't on your own. You need a power that's outside of yourself. And if there's not a power outside of yourself, you are powerless. You're just like that guy that fell off the skyscraper and would like to stop, but can't. The power is not resident in you to get these things changed. That's why you need Jesus Christ. That's why we need Jesus Christ this morning, because we are powerless on our own. What is possible with us? What is impossible with us is possible with Him. I'm not just talking about being a Christian this morning. I'm talking about something above and beyond that. I'm talking about His provision for us as Christians. I'm saying that you need Jesus, but not just for salvation. You need Jesus for every day. You need Christ for everything. You need Christ for every moment of every day. For His provision for everything. There's nothing that He doesn't want to be involved in your life. You need Christ for every second of every minute of every single day. If you're going to change and be the person that God wants you to be. He needs to be in control of your life. He needs to be in control of your life in order for your life to be something that will be pleasing unto Him. Something is always going to be in control of your life. Have you not figured that out yet? Something is always going to be in control of your life. One thing or another will always be in control. You're always going to let something control you. Some of you have been controlled by the desire to make money. Others have been controlled by the desire to just go have fun. Some are controlled by the desire to be popular, or maybe by the desire to be famous. We're controlled by expectations that other people have of us. We allow something to control us in our lives. Something will control us. We can be controlled by a substance. We can be controlled by fear. We can be controlled by alcohol, by drugs, by prescription drugs. We can be controlled by all of these things. You can be controlled by worry. Something will control you. We can be controlled by guilt. And we can be controlled by somebody else. Anything that you allow to control your life that isn't God, the Bible calls an idol. That's what it calls it. It's an idol. Anything that is controlling your life that's not God, that becomes an idol in your life. And one of the Ten Commandments, I think it says, and we're not to have any idols. We're not to have any other gods before Him. I think that's pretty plain for what He put out for all of that. Anything that you center your life around that isn't Jesus Christ is your God. Then we wonder why we're under tension all the time. We don't have a strong enough center to hold our life together. Anything other than God that's number one or at the center of our life is not strong enough to hold it all together. We have to have Him. The Bible talks about, and very honestly talks about, what's called the power of sin. Now, we don't use that phrase very much today. You don't hear many people talking about the power of sin in their life. Instead, we talk about addictions, and we talk about victims, and we talk about being dysfunctional and things like that. Psychological terms that we use. But it's the power of sin is what all of that is. We talk about it in in fancy terms so that we don't have to get right down to where the rubber meets the road. Where the rubber meets the road is that's the power of sin. These are sinful things and results of sin that have taken place in our life. So how do we break free? Freedom comes from choosing Christ as our master. Choosing Him as our master. Go to Romans chapter 6. We're going to close up in Romans today. Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Don't let sin control your body any longer. Don't let sin control you. Don't give in to sinful desires. Give yourself completely to God is what it's saying there. Every part of you to be used for His purposes. In America, most of the time, we want to give God the problem, but we don't want to give Him anything else. We want to give God the situation that's hanging us up, but we don't want to give Him our whole life. We want to get out of the moment. We want to get out of the immediate. We want to get out of the stress of this moment, but we don't want to give anything back in return, which is the totality of that being, the totality of ourselves. The Bible says if you want to break free, if you want to change your life, you've got to give yourself completely. That means, God, I admit it. I've blown it. You're God. I'm not. I need You. I need Your help. I submit myself to what You want to do. I want You to be the Lord of my life. I need You to take over the totality of my life. To submit ourselves completely, wholly, surrender unto Him. We use the word Lord all the time. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. Jesus is Lord. Lord Jesus. What does it mean to be Lord? Do we even know what it means for Him to be Lord? Or is it just a word? Is it just a phrase, part of His title that we want to use? Oh, well, that's Lord Jesus. There's more to that word than that. There's more to this concept than that. It's about Him being the boss. It's about Him being in charge, completely in charge of our lives. That's what it's about, that we willingly submit, that we willingly surrender our lives to One that has our best interests at heart and at mind, and that can move us through this process. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about Him being Lord. I mean, we don't understand the feudal system. We don't understand princes and kings and all that stuff anymore. We got a president. All right? We don't understand all that process anymore. Listen, friend, let's put it in terms that we can understand. Let Him be president of your life. Letting God be president of your life. Yes, He's in your life, but is He president of your life? He's resident, but is He president here this morning? Is He presiding over it? Is He the one that has the say about what you do and what you don't do? Is He the one that has the say about what you're involved in and what you're not involved in? Or are you making the decisions and kind of sending Him a carbon copy? Here's what I want to do. Here's a carbon copy for you, just in case you get to want to know what it is that I'm going to be up to for the next few days. Here's where I'm going. Here's what I'm going to do. Listen, friend, it's not to work that way. He's to be the president of your life. He's to be the one telling you where to go, you where to be, you how to act, you how to react. We're to be leaning on Him not leaning on us in all of this process. So that's what it means for Him to be Lord. It's just an old-fashioned term for Him being the boss, the number one guy, the guy in charge, the CEO, the chairman of the board. He's the president of this thing. You're under new management now. You don't get to manage your life. He's the one that manages your life. Listen, friend, you can look around real quick and see where somebody's devotion lies by the way they make decisions and the places and things that are going on. It's the same old manager doing the same old things. Friends, when you submit and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, it will change your life. It'll change your life. It'll change the way you go about everything. And that's a telltale sign. for whether or not you have Him there or not. When I do that, what happens? When I submit my life, when I surrender to Him, what happens? Well, I'll tell you what happens. Power happens. Power happens. Power to change your life happens. Power that becomes resonant. Power that comes into your life in such a wonderful way. Power happens. Power to break bad habits happens. Power to overcome happens. Power to decline happens. Power comes into your life when you submit your life in totality to the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 13 and 14. Look what it says there. It says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." I was reading in the Phillips translation of that a little bit. And the Phillips translation says, "Don't give any chance to the flesh to have its fling." Don't give any chance to the flesh to have its fling. That's that power that comes in. That power that the Lord brings to us. Ask Christ to take control of your life. Turn the reins of your life over to Him. Seek His wisdom. Seek His face. Seek Him and His direction for what you would do. Listen here. That is down the road, that's downstream, this submission, complete and utter total submission to the Lord Jesus Christ, downstream from the moment of salvation here. We have good intentions when we come into the kingdom. We ask Christ to come and be a part of our life. We ask Him to take over. We ask Him to save our soul. We invite Him to come in and take up residence, but we don't really understand what all that means. We go through a honeymoon period where everything's rosy and we think that we're perfect. And that we never will or never will sin again, and that we're all just riding the wave of this whole thing. And then one day we wake up and we realize that we're still not perfect, and that we're gonna take one of two tacks at that point. One of those is give up, throw our hands up, and be satisfied with salvation, get in by the skin of our teeth, or so as by fire. The other of those is to recognize what God already recognizes, that we're frail, that we're dust, that we do fail, and that we are problematic, and that He is the one that can help us to overcome, and that if we lean on His strength, that He can lead and guide us through this process that is called life. And so what we have in so many circles is that we have folks that have come so far and no further. We come so far and no further. I'm saved, I'm okay, I'm numbered with the company, and I'm okay with being just that. Leave me alone. I'll work the rest of the details out of my own life. But friend, that's not the way that He wants things to be done. He wants a surrender, complete, total, and complete surrender to Him so that He can work through us what He wants to do. Now listen, it's important that you be saved. It's important that you know about salvation here this morning. Friend, if you're not positive this morning, whether you're a child of the King, you're not positive whether you're born again this morning, you don't know what I'm talking about when I'm saying that there was an event one time where the reins of your life were handed over to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not sure of that this morning, friend, I'd like to talk to you before you leave here. I'd like to talk to you about how you can be certain of that, how you can be sure of that, and how you can move forward and have the tools to be able to work on things like we're talking about today, to break free of habits, to live a life that would be glorifying to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that all starts with that moment of salvation. And I say to you this, that if you've missed it, you ought to go back and gather it up today, because there's not going to be any breaking free if you don't have that power source that is resident there. You got to go back and pick up the power source before you can ever move forward. You can't follow these patterns, because now you've come to the place in here where you're off track if you don't know Jesus Christ. You can't ask Christ to take control of your life in this, to get rid of a habit, if He's not taking control of your life eternally. And so that has to be dealt with first. So here we are, breaking free. Breaking free. Begin today. You identified something in your life that has to go, needs to go, and you've decided this morning, I want to do that, and I want it gone today. Begin today with that process. Or we're going to refuse to blame somebody else and take total responsibility for what it is that's in our life. There's no reason to blame anybody else. It's in your life. Refuse to blame there. Take responsibility for it. E, examine yourself. Keep a short account on things. Continually keep asking yourself and looking at what's going on. Examining, daily, examining to make sure of where you are in the process. A, ask Christ. Ask Christ to take control of your life. Breaking free is going to start this way. We'll follow through with that with the remainder of this next week and help you to show you how you can break free from those things that have been plaguing you for a long, long time. It's a process, but it starts today. Practice what you know to practice this week, just from this little bit. Practice this week until we get further instruction next week. Follow through with this process. Start now. Begin today. No blame for anybody but yourself. Examine, and ask Christ to take control. Take control of your life in this particular area. Amen? Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each one that is here this morning. And Lord, the teachable spirit that you've given each one, I ask you, Father, that you would be pleased, Lord, to work in this area of these habits and all of these things, Lord, that have been plaguing us here. Lord, you know that there are some areas in our life that we'd really like to change. And some areas that are really causing some of us some problems this morning. And maybe some areas that we're ashamed of today. And you know, Lord, well, the things that we've tried in order to change our habits up to this point, you know what we've tried. And you know what has not worked. And Lord, you also know that we can't change on our own. Lord, that we need you. And so, Father, this morning we admit that freely and openly. Lord, we admit this morning that we need you above all else. And Lord, that we need you as our master. We need to understand that whole process. Help us to understand about slavery and who our master is. And the one that we're in subjection to is our master for that day. We're either a slave of righteousness or a slave of sin. Help us, Lord God, to see that. Lord, and have a desire to throw the yoke of the master of sin off of our life. Lord, I ask you to help us to surrender. Surrender leadership of our life, Lord, to the only one that can preserve and keep and help a life. And Lord, we recognize that as being you. Lord, when we do that and we stay real close to you with that process, Lord, then we have a place to bring our longings and our desire and our hurt and our fear. And Lord, in that relationship, you then lend power. You lend power, Lord God, to bring to bear at just the time we need it for whatever the habit is that we need broken. And so, Father, I pray, God, that you'd help us to begin today, take responsibility, examine our life, be honest and open and forthright with you and with ourselves, and then just surrender ourselves lock, stock, and barrel to your leadership as we ask for Christ to control our life, to control our thoughts, to control our steps, to control our every action. And Father, we can be confident that you'll do exactly that because you're a God that's never changed and you've promised that you bring those powers to bear in our life. Lord, we are tired of serving two masters. We're tired of serving two masters. It can't go on like that. Help us to serve you and you alone. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, further for those that may not know you here this morning. That, Lord, that would rise to such a level in that heart this morning. Lord, that there would be an aching and a longing to know of your presence in that life. An aching and a longing to know beyond any shadow of a doubt, Lord God, that you're in control of that life. And I pray, Lord, that there wouldn't be rest until that occurs, until that surrender happens. And I pray, God, that you bring folks to that brink of decision today. Lord, if there's somebody here that's not sure about it and like to talk about it, I ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to give them the courage. Lord, to take a step. Begin now. Begin today. Today is the day of salvation, you say. Now is the time. It's the accepted hour. Lord, we're not to brag about tomorrow. And in fact, in that case, we don't know if we have tomorrow. And so, Father, I pray that you would bring an immediacy, an urgency, Lord God, into the lives of those that don't know you today. That you'd stir them in a way, Lord, that would cause them to seek for answers, and for truth. For Father, I know that if we can get them pointed to the words of to the words on the pages of this book, Lord God, they'll find the answer. They'll find the answer that you've written there for the ages. Truth that never changes. Truth that never dies. And truth that never fails. So God, I pray that you'd help folks to respond in a right way. Lord, there's going to be some folks that are going to have trouble. It's going to be hard. But Lord, your power is going to be brought to bear, and I can't wait to see what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. So Father, I thank you in advance for the good hard work that's been done today. With the steps that have been made here this morning, I thank you, Lord God, for those that are willing to step out and step out on you. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd have your way during this time. Seal the deal in folks this morning. Seal the deal in people today. For I pray it in Jesus' name and amen.